You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that we've got coming up on Wednesday the 5th of February. And live on Racing Radio throughout the course of the day, we're going to have three meetings to bring you. Southall and Lobdow in the afternoon, and then we'll be heading to Wolverhampton in the evening. So lots to look forward to in the company of Darren Owen, Will Smith and Andy Holding. You can listen online or via the William Hill app. But here on the Daily Racing Podcast, my name's John Gibby, alongside Kate Tracy. Kate, how are you?
I'm really well, thank you, John. Yeah, very good. On the back of a great weekend. So I'm in high spirits and looking forward to, how long have we got? 6 weeks now until the festival. So yeah, very, very excited.
Yeah, we'll talk about Leopardstown in some detail a little bit later on, but it really is that point where the quality is hotting up. We're coming towards, I suppose, the end of what you might term the trials, although the racing we've seen in Ireland wasn't so much trials as it was championship racing in its own right to a large degree. But the excitement for the festival and for the big things coming up then, by the way of the Grand National and various other things, really is becoming real now, I suppose.
Yeah, it is. It's becoming, because I know it's always sort of the thing we tend to feel guilty of, isn't it, throughout the whole season in racing, is looking too far ahead to Cheltenham, and now we're all fully able to actually lose ourselves and completely submerged in it, and we've got all the Cheltenham previews coming up. So it's, I mean, even in the studio there, when I walked in this morning, we've got a countdown clock, haven't we, to actually, yes, to Cheltenham now. So it's it's all guns ahead now, so it's great.
Like a child opening their advent calendar every day throughout December, we do now have the day countdown. In fact, not just the day, but the minute, the second, hours.
Yeah. We're finally going to get to the big chocolate on 24.
Exactly. We can't wait. We'll discuss the Dublin Racing Festival in a moment. Okay. We'll also get your picks, of course, for Wednesday's racing action. Before that, we're going to start off the podcast on a sad note and mention a couple of high profile deaths in the world of racing over the past 24 hours or so. First of all, former jump jockey James Banks, who's sadly been found dead. Of course, former rider, retired a couple of years ago. Kate, I'm very sad to hear about his passing.
Absolutely. Oh, it was horrendous. I know, we just got the message through there yesterday and couldn't believe the news. And he really was, James Banks, what everyone sort of comes out with these lovely sentiments about somebody when they pass, but he truly was the biggest character you could ever meet. And always just trying to make everyone around him smile and laugh. And the amount of tributes that I've seen to about him from people who he's helped get into the industry and who he's really encouraged with their career paths, and he's had a massive impact on racing, even more so than people realize, and on people within the sport, and just the most tragic ending. So yeah, I can only think of his poor family at this time and what they must be thinking. And yeah, and as you say, with Robert Olner as well, then an absolute legend of the sport as well. And I remember sort of only being very young and watching his horses running, and so many of his horses are what got me into the sport originally. And it's just a bit of an end of a legacy there as well. So a couple of really sad days on the personal front.
Yeah, Robert Olner's probably most famous moment as a trainer would have been training Cool Dawn to win the Gold Cup back in 1998, ridden by our own Andrew Thornton, of course.
Yes, exactly. That's it. So we've got a few links there as well. And I haven't seen Andrew at all, but he must be fairly emotional today as well.
Now, that's the death of James Banks, aged 36, who died sadly yesterday, as we record this on Tuesday. And Robert Orner as well died on Monday night at the age of 76. Our thoughts with all those who knew those two, their families, of course, at this difficult time. Well, now let's take a look back at some of the great racing we saw over the weekend, Kate, of course, at the Dublin Racing Festival. And I've just asked you, rather than sort of go through every race and make comments that lots of people have been making over the last few days, just, I guess, a personal perspective from yourself, three performances that really stood out or you were really impressed by.
Yeah, so the most impressed I was out of the whole weekend, obviously we had unbelievable racing, unbelievable horses turning up, and I love this festival. Year after year, it's getting better and better, and I just hope that the support keeps coming for it, and record attendances and record bets going on and money passing through. So really fantastic. But the most impressed I was of any performance was Asterion Falange in the Chanel Farmer Novice Hurdle, the Grade One. And that was a good race. There were some really good novices in there. Easy Work, who was sent off favourite for Gordon Elliott. He was finished almost 10 lengths behind in second. And Asterion Falange, I liked him beforehand. And when he won at Nace, and he just put a pencil full of lead to Shame, who Gordon Elliott's team really liked before that. So we were already impressed with that, albeit it was a maiden hurdle. And this was really a chance for any sort of horse to come along and really assert themselves and put their stamp on any sort of Cheltenham Festival market. And he has really done that, looking ahead to the Supreme. So I think he jumped really well. I think his best attribute is actually his staying ability over 2 miles, which, as Ruby Walsh himself has regularly quoted, is what you need in abundance to win a Supreme. So he slightly reminds me of Classical Dream, if he's not as mad as him, but he's got that kind of way about him and kind of that that self-assurance. And yes, yeah, he was the one I was most impressed by.
Yeah, entries in all three of the main Cheltenham novice hurdles in classic Willie Mullins style, but shortest price for the Supreme, and you suspect that's probably where he's going to go.
Yeah, I think so, and especially with Willie's record in the Supreme as well, and he knows exactly what it takes. I think he's won, was it five of the last however many renewals of the Supreme? I think it's five of the last seven or something, and so he knows exactly what it takes, and you'd imagine with sort of the likes of Envoire Alain going probably to the Ballymore, and the Albert Bartlett looks fairly tough now, he probably doesn't have the much experience for that the Supreme, in my opinion, looks the best sort of target for him. So yeah, if he was mine, I'd be going down that route, but obviously I'm far from Willie Mullins.
Okay, what about the second performance you want to highlight then?
The second performance to highlight is going to be Notebook. Probably not an original one there, but he's just, I just think he is one of my safest bets of the week for the Arkle. I think he is so impressive. I think he's gorgeous. He's huge. And even there on Saturday when he was messing around sort of beforehand, and he ran away with Rachel when they just left the paddock. Mm. And then she used every bit of horsewomanship that she has to get him back under control and go down to start. But I just love how, even when he wins, his ears prick straight back from the line. I think he's got plenty left still, and his jumping is ridiculous. But a lot of people I've heard have been saying, well, what if he doesn't get his own way out in front, or what if he has to sit behind? I don't think it matters anyway where you put this horse. I don't think it matters if he's in front, if he's in behind, if he's sitting off a strong pace, if he's sitting off a slow pace. I think he's so you can vary him in whatever tactics will suit you. And I just think I can't see any of that form with Fakir Dudari being overturned, albeit so many people, that was the Leopardstown performance, all from the time before in the Racing Post Novice. But I can't see that being overturned at all. I just think he's a better horse, and he's got scope for days. And it's obviously so well documented that Henry de Bromhead's horses are so good at jumping. And he does obviously so much loose schooling with them. He does so much flat work with them to get them nicely shaped. And even though obviously he's got all the scope to go with his size, to go long, but he's so quick on his feet when to dance around and go in short that you wouldn't even notice. So I really do like him. I think it was a good performance as well. The fact he beat Cashback, who the Mullins team had been talking up massively going into that. So I think it was a really good race. And yeah, he's a pretty surefire for me for the Arkle now.
Yeah, I was saying on the day, I was in the studio on Saturday presenting, and I said I wouldn't be the sort of person to necessarily back Antipost favourites for races at Cheltenham. But if you were, I think 3-1 is a very fair price.
Yeah, I really do. Like I say, I wouldn't be the biggest fan of Antipost favourites at all either. But with that, there's still plenty enough value, I think, for Notebook. And he's done nothing wrong. And he's answered pretty much every question for me this season.
Okay, what about the third and final
performance? The third and final one is going to be Appreciate It in the bumper, who won the Grade 2 bumper on the Saturday. And it was a really good bumper. It was set out to be, and it was a really good bumper, albeit Eric Bloodaxe, he didn't run his race. And he was kind of the horse I was really fancying going into this, because I thought he'd definitely have the right amount of turn of foot for the 2 miles, so he had all the gears. And I don't think he ran his race at all, and it was reported that he felt lame, that the rider dismounted him, and yeah, when he was pulling up. So he has an excuse there that it's come out since, but he definitely didn't run any sort of race. However, the fact that Appreciate It managed to put Risk Factor that far behind him in second, and Risk Factor was going into this on the back of a really nice win on Boxing Day at Leopardstown, where he was super impressive. And admittedly, he may look like a horse that might need a bit more time still, because he's a fair size of a horse, but really, really good by Duke of Marmalade. So everything was there for him. He ran his race. In fact, Appreciate It still managed to ease his way home and win by 8 lengths. You shouldn't be winning a Grade 2 bumper with that caliber of runner in behind you by 8 lengths. So he's the one for me. And it's interesting looking at the market now with Israel Champ, because I really liked Israel Champ for the champion bumper. And Appreciate It on the back of that has thrown down, well, he's made himself known and then some now in the market. So yeah, he's the other one who has really, really stamped his authority on the back of his win over 2 mile 4. And basically, I just don't think it matters with this horse. If he goes over 2.5, if he comes back to 2 miles, I think he's got that many gears, he's got that much pace, that much stamina, that he'll win over anything. And also, the fact he won over 2 mile 4 the time before will also indicate that when he goes to Cheltenham, and when they're all finishing in a big bunch up the hill, as they tend to do in the champion bumper, that he's going to have that bit of stamina to get him up the hill. So yeah, he's the one for me who's cemented his place in at the head or near the head of a market for Cheltenham.
Yeah, 9-4 favourite with us here at William Hill for the champion bumper, which is a short enough prize for a race where you can have some surprise winners and you do need a little bit of luck in running, but at the same time you can kind of see why off the back of that performance.
Yeah, that's it, because it's so much about it is luck. And you know, for these youngsters having to come downhill, and you'll see one every year jumping the crossing, coming down the hill, and there's always one, and you do need that luck. But very often though, it is the horse that you do imagine does prevail despite that. And he again fits that perfect mold where he hasn't done anything wrong, albeit obviously you've got Panic Attack in the market there as well, who was so impressive at Market Raisin. So that's kind of my mystery horse, the intriguing one. But yeah, Israel Champ though will be very hard to beat. So if you're looking at the prices currently, I would still be backing Israel Champ, albeit Appreciate It has massively boosted his credentials.
Yeah, Israel Champ, by the way, 10-1 in that champion bumper market, available future races on the William Hill website or on the app. Now, slightly closer to home though, okay, let's take a look at your selections for the action that we've got coming up on Wednesday. And you've got two picks for us, and the first runs at Savile in the afternoon at 3:30, is that correct?
Yes, it is. Yep, it's Brains, which is an interesting name. Yeah, he's a rapidly improving, really strong galloping type, and I think he should be able to make it 4 wins from his last 5 starts. This will be his first time running at Southwell, which naturally is going to be a bit of a concern if he's going to handle the 5%. However, I wouldn't have as much concern with him about running here as I would with most, because his sire, Dandy Man, has a 14% strike rate at the track, with 32% of his runners being placed as well. So yeah, Brains is one for me to continue this rapid progression up through the ratings. So yeah, and against the favourite as well at this current point as we record.
Yeah, prices at time of recording, we do have these available. And if you're looking to have a bet earlier on the day for next day's racing, by the way, do take a look at the prices, because we do, on the William Hill website or on the app, price up quite a few of the races quite early on in the day, as we have with this one. Masaka is a 6-4 favourite, Brains 2-1, Directory 3-1, Gloria Paris is 8-1, 20-1 for Golden Wolf, and Mountain Rescue is 22-1. And Kate's taking on the favourite, Masaka, with Brains, who are currently 2-1 second in the market. The 7:40 at Wolverhampton, the other race that Kate's going to be taking a look at. This is a 7 furlong handicap, and we also have betting available for this one. Red Jasper, 100-30 favourite, 4-1, 17.04. Pink Jazz, 5-1, 11-2 for Boy George, the Myro Prospect, 11-2, 8-1 for Red Zone, and it's 12-1 and bigger for the remainder. What do you like here?
Again, I'm going to take on the current favourite at the minute with the second favourite in 1704. He travelled really strongly in his first handicap at Lingfield over 1 mile. Managed to quick and clear just over a furlong from home and just got caught out in the last 50 yards. So bearing that in mind, considering that was over a mile, the drop back to 7 should definitely suit him a lot more so. And I think on that basis of how well he ran in the first time visor the last time, then this should see him to even better effect. And I just think he was a bit unlucky. So I'd take him at the prices to rewrite that wrong of just getting caught near the line last time out.
And 1704, currently 4-1 for that 740 at Wolverhampton. All that racing live, of course. We're us on William Hill Racing Radio. And in the case of the Tool Weather meetings, Sutherland, Wolverhampton, don't forget that you can watch those live and free to watch on William Hill Betting TV as well, with no qualifying bet required. So get involved with that. Join us on Racing Radio, if you can, on Wednesday for 1:20 p.m. start. Andy Holding and Will Smith will be in the company of Darren Owen for the day's action. Join us tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. And Kate, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.